It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
All right, I do have a baseball question for you because we got to get serious now.
Wait, what was that? You were like whispering there.
I do have a baseball question for you.
You got a baseball question for me? Great. You know I love baseball questions.
But baseball, you love baseball.
I love baseball. You love baseball. Yes.
Yeah, we all love baseball. All right, so what were the June records now that we have moved into July? The June records of the Yankees and the Mets.
Total games played?
Total games played for the Yankees was 27. Total games played for the Mets was 27.
Okay. I'm going to write down on a paper towel here. I'm not great at math in my head. I've done this before. I'm going to say that the Mets were... Wow. 9 and 18.
You're saying the Mets were 9 and 18 in June.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm gonna say the Yankees were 12 and 15.
So the Yankees were 13 and 14.
All right. Right there.
The Mets 12 and 15.
Wow. Better than I thought.
Yeah. Me too. So, but I still would say that both had a little bit of a
hiccup.
June swoon.
Oh, no. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God. Man, oh, man. You just did Bobby Bonilla Day. Now you're doing June swoon. What the hell's wrong with you today?
I don't know. Well, it's July 1st.
Yeah.
You know, Canada Day.
July 1st, Canada Day, WFAN Day, Bobby Bonilla Day.
So the Brits kicked the French out in the Seven Years' War, supposedly.
Oh, okay. That's what happened?
Yeah, big thanks to a listener who posted that on X for us.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Look at that.
So Rick DiPietro gets $1.5 million today, every July 1st until 2029. Some bitch hadn't bought me dinner in a while. And of course, Bobby Bonilla, $1.19 million until 2035.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, didn't Steve Cohen at first say that? Like, I don't know why they, like, when he was a minority owner, it said something along the lines of, why don't you just buy that out so it's not embarrassing for the Mets the rest of the time? Like,
by the way, how much is Max Scherzer getting from everybody, like, in 10 years from now?
And
how
a lot.
Much is Shohei Ohtani getting 20 years from now?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Bobby Bonilla hasn't been a Met in a long time. You know, so that's why it's Bobby Bonilla.
He signed when Bernie Madoff was still around. And guess who probably, you know, had a hand in that?
Bernie Madoff?
I guarantee. Yeah, I would think so.
See, that's a question I can answer. When you set me up like that and you give me the answer right before you ask it, I could certainly do that. All right. I think we did this a couple weeks ago, but maybe a couple months ago. But most famous Canadian.
I say Wayne Gretzky.
See, I think you're wrong. I really believe it's Celine Dion.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I mean, there's just more.
What about Justin Trudeau?
No. I mean, how many Americans?
He's very
know Justin Trudeau. Like, seriously, you go out
in the last 6 months, I think everybody knows who he is. No,
yeah, that's what you think. You go out on the street and ask any person, you know, 30 or even 40 or younger, I bet you 2 out of 10 get Justin Trudeau.
All right. Well, I don't know.
I mean, you do this whole thing, they don't even know who our vice president is, much less Justin Trudeau. I mean, you say, hey, who sung that song when the Titanic went down? Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Bang.
You're probably right, but
Bieber up there, too. Bieber's got to be up there. I mean, I know you're going to say Gretzky, the great one, the whole thing. I understand.
I understand.
He's up there.
But music transcends, you know, borders is more than hockey does.
Music transcends borders.com.
More than hockey does.
No, I like this music transcends borders. It sounds like a
like you would say, like when you're charity. We're talking about the world's game. The world's game is soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Lionel Messi.
Okay.
David Beckham.
Yeah, you sure.
Ronaldo, yeah.
Guys like that.
Are so much more famous.
Indeed. Yeah. What are you doing today? I'm going to the Music Transcends Borders golf outing today for the children.
Sounds like one of those concerts that they would have done in the 80s, like a Live Aid thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Tonight on CBS, music transcends borders. Raising money for underprivileged children who need violins. Donate at musictranscendsborders.com.
Anyway, all right, any more baseball stuff? You just wanted to throw that out there.
I just wanted to throw that out there because it is July 1st, and, you know, hopefully the Mets and Yankees can get their collective heads out of their keisters.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, indeed.
Especially the Mets.
Well, yes. I mean, and they got... See, this is a problem. You know, anytime Clay Holmes on the mound, you feel a little bit better about their chances of winning. But, of course, the Brewers are throwing Peralta against them, and the offense is just stunk. So when you're facing the Brewers' best pitcher, I mean, you're just not feeling great about it.
Maybe somebody went out and did a slump buster yesterday.
Would be a good time for it, if you think about it.
Never know.
One of those guys.
You got to know the fellas are out either Sunday night or Monday.
I don't know if are the fellas out in a funk like this. Are the fellas going out?
That's the time, you know, you got to go out.
Maybe the single fellas?
Yeah.
Vientos is a guy.
You think he's a slump buster guy?
Yeah, he would definitely do it. He would take one for the team. He definitely would, especially in the year that he's having after last year. I mean, that would be great. Man, if that were the case... That
we'd
a slump buster
have a whole new respect for him.
No. I mean, I'm just saying, if the slump buster turned the season around and that somehow got out,
yeah,
that would be this year's. Maybe someone needs to have sex with Grimace. Maybe that's what needs to happen. That'll be the slump buster. Put those two things together.
Something has to happen. That's for sure.
Probably be. I mean, that's the ultimate slump buster. Anyway, so I was going to bring up this because we're talking about the Steelers and their drafts and how they're piecing it together and they haven't been able to figure it out. I mean, when we talk about teams in the draft and quarterbacks and drafting quarterbacks and reaching for them and, you know, these guys, they never pan out and all these conversations, the more that don't pan out, that do pan out. If you hit on one of these guys, it changes your franchise more than ever. So much so that if you go through like all the teams right now, the best teams in the NFL, all drafted their quarterback. All of them. And all the teams that are way down at the bottom are ones that
are trying to figure it out with the new quarterback. Yes.
Right. So like Eagles draft their quarterback. Ravens draft their quarterback. Bills, Chiefs, Commanders, Bengals, 49ers, Packers. You know, the only ones
Ravens.
I said the Ravens.
Oh, you did
second
say the
one,
Ravens.
Yeah. Okay. So the only ones that didn't in these top list here are the Lions and the Rams, which obviously, you know, made trades there. But, I mean, it's just...
with each other.
Right. And then you go down to the bottom, and it's like, you know, just bust after bust at the quarterback position. I mean, it's really... that's it! It's the whole league! I mean, it just... I mean, I know we say this all the time, but it really is the whole... Saints, Browns, Jets,
now
Titans, Colts.
Just remember, the Saints were great with Drew Brees, who they did not draft.
That is true. But
they got him when he was young because he got injured, and they ended up taking Phillip Rivers.
Right, and then you also had, you know, it was either the Dante Culpepper and Drew Brees were free agents at the same time, and Miami and New Orleans needed quarterbacks. Miami went with Culpepper. He blew out his knees. He was done, and then Brees goes to the Saints. The rest is history. Browns, million busts a quarterback. Jets, million busts a quarterback. You know, Titans with guys like, you know, Jake Locker and what's-his-face now can't throw the ball. The Giants. I mean, it's just so, you know, we can't.
That was amazing. The former Titan quarterback that sat out last year, and he still hasn't signed with anybody.
Tannehill. Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever happened to him?
I don't know. How old is he?
He's not that old.
I don't know. You would think he'd be a backup somewhere, right?
I haven't seen.
36.
He sat out all last year. Like, nobody wanted Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he could at least.
Tim Boyle played again last year, and Tannehill sat out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he obviously doesn't want to play anymore, or there wasn't enough money for him to come back. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
what
there's got to be something in there. It's got to be his decision, I would imagine. I mean, the NFL would take anybody who can throw the ball as a backup quarterback.
And he had a good reputation. He's a good guy. He's a good teammate. You know, was very conscientious, you know, somebody you could trust. I'm not sitting here saying that he is, you know, I don't know. That's the reason why you keep trying. You keep trying drafting quarterbacks. You know, that's why the Giants went up to go get Jackson Dart. You got to try. You got to find a guy. And if you could find the guy and, you know, they hit on Jackson Dart, now all of a sudden things change, you know. And the other thing that if you look at those teams, those winning teams, a lot of those winning teams also are either getting new stadiums, new upgrades. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they're winning. And when you're winning, you have the political will behind you to do what you need to get done in order to get a stadium.
Let's go to Clarissa in Middlesex County, who joins the show this morning. What's going on, Clarissa?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great, Clarissa. What's going on?
All right. Well, I wanted to make a comment about how you guys were talking about who the most famous, like, Canadian is.
On and Canada I think Day, both of you, yeah.
Yes, and I think both of you are wrong, and I think the most famous comedian is Martin Short.
No, come on.
Or the Canadian is Martin Short, yeah.
Martin Short? How about Jim Carrey is more famous than Martin Short?
Yeah, definitely. And
Martin Short is funnier than Jim Carrey.
Well, they're both funny, but
Clarissa,
Jim Carrey
is short to
charts, but she must be sleeping with Martin Short or something.
That's not fair.
Come on.
That's not nice, Clarissa. I apologize on Boomer's behalf there. The suggestion that you're stupid.
What about Neil Young, Martin. Michael J. Fox?
Yeah, I mean, there's way more than Martin Short, but I mean, to me,
I love me some Shania Twain.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Feel like a woman. What about Drake?
Yeah, Drake's a big one. That's right. Drake is a very big one. I still go Celine Dion as far as like a Q rating of who knows who.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah. I mean, he's up there, but I'm telling you, Celine Dion. Jim Carrey is up there. But if you go to Celine Dion, you scroll back up there. What is it? It says a world renowned. World renowned. Like this Jim Carrey.
Drake, it says a global music superstar.
True.
Global.
He's up there. Drake's
global,
up there.
Global is the same as world renowned.
But
global is
the
same.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
More old people know Celine Dion. It's like Drake, it stops at like a certain age. So there's more people that know Celine Dion. But both of them could sell out arenas in other countries. Whereas if Jim Carrey did stand up, he's not selling out a stadium in Mumbai. You know?
How about Pierre Trudeau, Justin's father?
No.
Screwed up Canada.
I mean, no. I mean, I can't believe Martin Short of all people.
I don't even see him on the list.
I mean,
what is she thinking about?
Is he even Canadian?
She's got to be living with him. What about Ryan Reynolds? He's in the news lately.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, still, these are all very famous people. But Celine Dion's number one. Hands down.
William Shatner.
Yeah. Not a bad one. I mean, there was a lot of really funny Canadians, like, you know, Eugene Levy, those, the Kids in the Hall. Those guys were hilarious, that sketch comedy show.
There was a guy.
Tom Green.
There was a guy up there.
John Candy was Canadian.
Yeah.
A medical scientist who co-discovered insulin.
Oh, yes. What's his name?
Frederick Banting.
Oh, this is Frederick Banting. God bless Banting.
About Alexander Graham Bell. Now, he was Scottish born.
Yeah, so that's not. Yeah.
That doesn't count. But he did significant work in Canada.
No, including the
invention of the telephone, know what that is.
No. You can't be Scottish born and be just you did some work in Canada and be the most famous Canadian. Absolutely no way.
You know, I don't know.
Just cave and just be. I mean, it's Celine Dion.
I mean, Drake right now.
You're not understanding.
I'm understanding everything.
People
you're
are. People
stop
are.
Saying I'm not understanding. I am understanding.
No, you're not understanding because there are more people living who have heard of Celine Dion than Drake.
I'm telling you that there are a lot of people under the age of 20 who have no idea who Celine Dion is, but
disagree.
All know who Drake is.
Disagree. And okay, so under 20, how about over 50? Huh?
Eh?
So now you got, you know, kids, you know, 10, 20, you're talking 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe even 90-year-olds going near, far, wherever you are, Celine Dion. The answer. Celine Dion is the answer.
You know, she has a cousin with CF, I believe.
Celine Dion?
Yes. She's very involved in Canadian cystic fibrosis.
She's got something. She's got stiff body syndrome or something.
Yeah,
she's struggling with something like that.
Yeah.
sounds awful. Really, yeah, neurological issue. But I know that she still can perform from time to time when she's, you know, feeling okay, which is a great thing. A lot more famous Canadians than you thought, though, huh?
I think it's a very short list, actually.
You think it's a short list?
Yeah, I thought the list would be longer. But, you know, again,
I don't know about that.
I mean, you look at all the basketball players. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, he's Canadian.
Yeah. All the basketball players?
RJ Barrett's Canadian.
Okay.
There's a bunch of them.
All right. You got any more? Hello?
Yeah, I'll
get two.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. I know those two.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously we know the Canadian hockey players. There's a lot of great ones there. And
sure.
Mario and Gretzky.
What do you think that they would say? What do you think a Canadian would say?
Like, if you're asking Matt's probably going to say Wayne Gretzky because he's a hockey guy.
Okay.
If you're asking, I mean, it kind of depends on
who you're asking. Accountant up there?
But if I were to, if we were to present who's the most famous out of these people,
yeah,
I think, you know, you'd be able to get a better answer. Let's go to Mateo in Morristown. What's going on, Mateo?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Mateo? What's happening, brother?
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of piggyback off of what Boomer's saying. Drake definitely takes most famous Canadian by a landslide. He's been famous since like 2008, 2009. He was in Degrassi. He had a pretty prominent role. And he also has been just famous making hit after hit.
Yeah, I mean, but like if your point about Drake is he's been famous since 2008, I mean, Celine Dion was famous 30 years prior to that. So if that's your point you're losing.
With millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, like
Gen Alpha,
people like
what is Gen Alpha?
That's the youngest generation. They're like the kids hitting high school now.
Okay, all right.
But for every Gen Alpha,
there's a boomer, and there's fewer children being born these days than there used to be. I think there's more people that know Celine Dion.
I know what you think. I'm thinking it's Drake right now.
Frank in Brooklyn, what's going on, Frank?
Hey, you know, Boomer, you know Celine Dion is one of these celebrities that drinks the blood of children and has the demonic clothing line.
What? What? He's one of these celebrities that drinks the blood of children?
All right, let me see.
It has a demonic clothing line?
Come on.
Dude, log off, buddy. What was his name? Frank, log off. Drink. Go out, take a walk in the park, grab some Wonder Bread, feed some pigeons. Do something. Go out on a dock, stare out at the water. Call an old friend. But please,
there is no evidence or credible information to support the claim that celebrities drink the blood of children.
Oh, you needed to Google that?
Yes. Bloody brilliant. Michael Bublé drinks baby blood to stay young. Look at these headlines.
Oh, my God.
Is blood Hollywood blood harvesting?
Yeah, okay. Like I said, log off. Log off. There's no one's drinking baby's blood. Celine Dion isn't drinking children's blood. She doesn't have a demonic clothing line. Wow. You know,
devil music.
It was great about that. You know, she's one of those. One
yes,
of the many.
Yes.
One of the many that is doing that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Talking about famous Canadians throughout history. As today is Canada Day, and just got a call from a man who wanted to tell Boomer that Celine Dion was one of those celebrities that drinks the blood of children. So just one of them that are out there.
Maybe she ate like a placenta shake or something.
No. That's a thing. The eating and the drinking of the placenta is not drinking children's blood. That's like something that people say is good for nutritional value to a woman after giving birth. I don't know. But that's different than drinking children's blood. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah. Jerry,
got it. I don't know what you're saying.
I mean, we were just talking about famous Canadians, and
I know
Frank called up and had that little tidbit for
us. I heard.
Just a little tidbit.
Little tidbit. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jerry, let's get the sports update, huh?
Oh, yeah, away from demons and placentas. We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Not a great night for the Yankees last night in Toronto, where all these things are happening.
Here's a pitch from Leiter. Swing on, bouncing ball, floppy in the hole, throws off, bounce across his body. Runner, the base runner is safe. Run scores, ties the game at 3-3.
It did, and then you would get the ground ball under the glove of Jazz Chisholm Jr. by Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a two-run single, 5-3 at that point, 5-4 the final, as the Yankees beat the Blue Jays last night. That was Ernie Clement that had the game-tying RBI infield single in the play that Volpe made in the hole, but then threw across to first, allowing the other runner to go to third. Here was Carlos Rodon. You guys were going over the records in June.
Yeah.
The Yankees 13-14 in the month. Here was Rodon. He, by the way, went 5-plus, charged with a couple of runs.
It's a wave. It's up and down. You know, we play 162 games for a reason. Just one of those months, and, you know, we just put our head down, keep going, and we got another game tomorrow. So just forget about tonight and try to go win tomorrow.
You had Max Scherzer, a no decision. He allowed two runs over five at the battle with Judge. Judge intentionally walked twice in this game. You had the sacrifice bunt by Jazz Chisholm. That was a little bizarre in the eighth inning. And then you've got all the injuries. You've got Trent Grisham leaving the game in the fifth with a tight hamstring. Pitcher Fernando Cruz placed on the injured list, oblique injury. And Austin Wells has an injured finger, as he explains it.
It's just damage to the artery in the finger, just from impact of the baseball and over time. So they're hoping that over time it'll find a new route and figure it out.
I actually wonder how that hasn't happened to more catchers. With
wow.
the popping of the glove 100 miles an hour over and
finger
over.
Finger artery.
Yeah, how about that?
Blood's got to find a new route.
I wonder if there is like an underneath glove that they could wear of pads to kind of lessen the impact.
I don't know. I'll put a sponge in there.
I remember they used to do that. Did you do that? You were a catcher, right?
Backup at best. But no, right. I just used a regular glove.
You aren't a catcher.
No, never a catcher.
Anyhow,
I caught.
You did?
I did.
A lefty catcher.
In Little League.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I had problems throwing the ball back to the pitcher. So
that's right. The one time you did catch it.
Yes, we did hear him. Now, you tell me, is there anything to this? Am I reading anything into it?
Oh, here we go.
So they had, as they do in whatever inning it is, the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, whatever, on Yes, they did name that Yankee. Mm. And so they put up the teams. The Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Astros, and then the Yankees. Pretty obvious what the answer is. So it's 25 seconds. This is Michael Kay on Yes with David Cohn at the end.
Now they're trying to do the okey-doke here, David. They don't tell you the wins, just 184 losses and an MVP. They're not mentioning anything else. Those are the teams for which he plied his trade. Frankly, I believe it's an embarrassment. You know this, right?
Can we get Susan Waldman to announce it?
What does that mean?
Oh, Roger Clemens.
But he's taking a shot at
it. That's what I'm... Am I reading too much into it, or is he taking a shot at Susan?
I don't think he's taking a shot at Susan. I think he's recalling a very, very entertaining moment from the past with Roger Clemens and Susan Waldman. I don't think he's going after Susan. I think that a lot of
people... Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious.
That is the time. That is the time.
Yeah, I don't believe it's a shot at Susan. I think David Cohn probably loves Susan. But that's a moment.
You never know. That is true. Yankees remain a game and a half ahead of Tampa in the AL East because the Rays lost to the A's. This was in the ninth inning of a 4-4 game.
Here's the pitch. That swung on. Fly ball left center. And it's going to fall in for a base hit, go all the way to the wall. Muncy is in. Schumann comes in to score. Digging for third is Butler. He's in there with a triple. And it's 6-4 Athletics.
I mean, you got minor league stadium after minor league stadium. What's the matter?
No, I got to see that highlight again, CBS Sports Network. Did the guy dive after the ball hit the ground? I'm pretty sure the center fielder dove after the ball hit the ground.
Let's see. Ball up, left center field.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Maybe he was trying to stop it from going to the wall.
Still, though, I've never seen
I
that.
Have not either.
I mean, I guess that's the only explanation for it. But
that was actually kind of funny.
Ridiculous.
Tonight, the Mets open up a series with the Brewers. Clay Holmes takes on Freddie Peralta. How about these two? Holmes 8-4, ERA 2.97. Peralta 8-4, ERA 2.90. So we'll see which one wins out. Mets two games behind Philly in the NL East as they shut out the Padres 4-0. Reports say Mike Brown will have a second interview with the Knicks this week for their head coaching vacancy, formerly of the Cavaliers and most recently of the Sacramento Kings. You had free agency open. In terms of the tampering time, the Knicks expected to sign Jazz guard Jordan Clarkson. The Nets acquired Michael Porter Jr. and a future first-round pick from the Nuggets for Cam Johnson. The Nets also re-signing Zaire Williams and De'Ron Sharp. Also of note, Clint Capella goes to the Rockets, so they're loading up. Talk about LeBron James, yes. The Western Conference. Pretty good there out in Houston, as we know.
So now what is LeBron thinking? Here's another team that's loading up. We got Denver we got to deal with. We got, obviously, Houston we got to deal with. We got OKC we got to deal with. Minnesota's still going to be a good team.
Yeah, Julius Randle, big contract extension.
Got 3 years, $110 million.
So, good for him.
That is true.
Yeah, LeBron's thinking, I got to get to the East. If I want to win another championship, I got to get to the East. At least to get to a finals. Because it ain't happening here.
It would certainly be an uphill climb. I think you could make that case. All right, we'll try this again. Netflix released their trailer for an upcoming docuseries on the Cowboys. So I'm going to give you two clips this hour. This one is, now think about the day and age we're in and the day and age that Boomer played in. The Boomer played in double sessions, heat, little breaks.
Mm.
Now it's, they play for 2 hours and I don't know what they do the rest of the day, but so be it. This was a clip from Jimmy Johnson from way back in the day. And if you can't hear it, the player here is claiming to the coach he needs to stop because he's having an asthma attack.
It started with Jimmy Johnson.
Get part of this, Fred. Asthma, Mike. Get over there on that other field and have some asthma.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
now
man.
That's football.
Yes.
Over that other field and have some asthma.
That they is get incredible. Fired today's day. Can't do that anymore. And then this clip from, I think this is Charlotte.
And that's the 90s, by the way.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's not that long ago. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
90, yeah. I believe this is Charlotte and then Jerry Jones talking about how clueless they were when they took over the franchise.
I said, Dad, I don't know anything about running a football team. And he looked me in the eye and he said, neither do I.
We were gambling my family's whole fortune, so I had to take risks.
Think about this. They had no idea what the hell they were doing. They won 3 in 4 years. What have they been doing the last 25 years?
Yeah. Right? Well, they crazy, got lucky. Right? They got Troy Aikman.
Well, and then they got Troy Aikman in that big trade.
And then, you know.
The trade.
The big
really.
Trade, yeah. I mean, that's obviously one of the greatest things they've ever did.
No question. No doubt.
And so they did that, like, relatively young, fast. And they're running that that team, which is amazing.
And if free agency didn't hit, they would have won more.
And I think that trade obviously sent a shot across everyone's bow in the NFL. Like, you got to be careful when you make these trades. And then, of course, Mike Ditka comes along.
Yeah, right. Trades his whole draft.
For Ricky Williams. For Ricky, what's it?
Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Was the Cowboy, were they broken up by free agency or the salary cap? What, or both?
Well, I also think they broke themselves up. You know, they had the White House thing.
Oh, sure, but they lost players.
I know, but. But you remember they had the Barry Switzer year where they were so good that they still won despite Barry.
Yeah. Beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
And then, of course, Jerry Jones got so, I want to say, I think he was so desperate that he ended up convincing Bill Parcells to come down there because he needed somebody and something to bring initial and immediate credibility to the team.
And it worked until Tony Romo dropped the snap. And I still believe Parcells would have come back if... He didn't drop that snap. I do believe that.
Okay.
But whatever. This was a Fliegelman find. NFL agent A.J. Stevens, I guess, with Ari Myroff on his YouTube football show. So he was asked, he's done a lot of these deals. He was asked his most memorable contract that he's negotiated. He brought up a few of them from around the league, but this one took the cake for him.
The one that might be the most memorable for me, though, and because of the way that Brian Murphy, our CEO, pushed us at the beginning of it, is Daniel Jones.
All right, so he talks about the process of getting the Daniel Jones contract.
I will never forget, I was on the golf course on a Saturday morning thinking I was, you know, free and clear for the weekend. I get a call and he says, hey, I have this master plan. We're going to send a proposal to the Giants on Monday. It's going to be a whole history of the quarterback market and where Daniel fits into it.
The whole history. So what does that exactly mean?
So I spent the next 72 hours building out a 42-page manifesto, I think the Giants called it, that gave a history of the quarterback position since 2010-ish and eventually a proposal. So you had to read through 41 pages to actually see our first proposal to the Giants.
42 pages of the history of NFL contracts.
Or you could skip to the... You know, you don't have to read every
page.
That's true. You can go to the end.
That is very true. And he does
42 pages add up to $42 million guaranteed.
Yeah, 4 years, $160 million, right?
Was that? Yeah, but he ended up getting 80. I think it was $82 million guaranteed. 41 and 41 the first 2 years of that 4 year contract.
He did acknowledge how nuts everything was.
It was absurd at the time. Looking back, it's still absurd, but it inevitably got us to the point where we did a buzzer beater deal where there were. Seconds left before the deadline when we got his contract done. So that one was.
Now, I don't know if he means the contract is absurd or the way they went about it with the document, the 42-page manifesto.
I think a lot of the, like, Scott Boris does that for his clients.
Does he?
Yeah. Puts the whole thing together and, you know, it tries to explain why his client is worth so much money and why a team should sign his client.
I mean, that's an agent doing work for his client. There's some that don't have to do anything for their clients because they. Very coveted. Yeah. And there's others who need to write a 42-page manifesto to convince you to give Daniel Jones $40 million a year.
Like Boris is his whole deal. He's got analytics guys working for him. He's got all sorts of people working for his agency. And, you know, their job is to get as much money as they possibly can for their clients so the agency survives.
The Dolphins agree to trade Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith to the Steelers in exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick and a pick swap, and one from Islanders first-round pick Matthew Schaefer. So he had his first developmental practice yesterday, met the media afterwards, and he met a few Islander fans along the way.
They're super nice. They're welcoming. Asked them some spots to eat. They said bagels and pizza were really good, so I think it's egg and cheese bagels. Am I right? Is that the go-to thing here?
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah, bacon, egg, and cheese. That's what it was. So I guess I'm going to have a couple of those here and there, so yeah.
I know he's only 17. He looks and sounds like a child.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing.
He says bagels, too.
Bagels.
We got to change that whole thing.
Yes.
Maybe 5 years from now, he'll be speaking the way we speak.
That'll be just fine. And the Maple Leafs trade Mitch Marner to the Golden Knights. He gets 8 years, $96 million.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What are you laughing at over there?
Just some of the conversations we've had this morning already.
Yeah.
Been very interesting. A lot of people want to weigh in on things.
Yeah, weighing in.
Yeah, people in my own personal life texting me about certain things.
Weighing in.
You know? I mean, and it's pretty funny, some of the stuff that they're sending me, but I just...
All right, that's all. You answered the question.
That's what I'm laughing
at. You answered
about.
The question.
Yes.
How about this? We were talking a lot about the poop cruise.
Yes.
How about cruises in the news again?
Uh-oh, now what happened?
Well, a dad dove into the ocean to save his daughter who fell from the Disney Dream Cruise. And they were treading water for 20 minutes before they were pulled to safety.
They couldn't throw them a life raft?
I guess.
Like one of those...
I mean, I'm sure they did whatever they could, but yeah.
It took 20 minutes?
20 minutes, yeah. This is from the Post. A fearless father jumped off a Disney cruise ship when his daughter fell overboard, which I mean...
Yo, that's what you do. You have to do that.
No. I mean, you're not...
What would you do?
Just stop. Of course I would jump in to save my daughter. But you're getting ahead of yourself here.
I'm sorry.
How does she get overboard was my question. Of course you go and save her, but how is she overboard? Miraculously grabbing her, then treading water for around 20 minutes until they were rescued. They were heading from Florida to the Bahamas when an alert suddenly boomed. Mr. MOB, man overboard, port side, referring to man overboard. A girl fell overboard from the fourth deck, and her dad went in after her.
The fourth deck, wow.
I mean, wow.
I was on that cruise ship for its maiden voyage.
The Disney cruise?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that the name of the boat, the Disney Magic? I think that's the
this
one.
This is Disney Dream. Oh, but okay. I don't know if it's going to be the Dream Cruise. Maybe it's the Magic. I don't know. Yeah. It was not immediately clear how the girl fell into the ocean. The fourth deck of the ship is one of the lowest publicly accessible platforms, likely fewer than 50 feet above the waterline.
We still fell 50 feet somehow.
Yeah. I mean, that's
maybe they were holding her up to take a picture or something.
And then you drop your daughter in the ocean?
I don't think.
I mean, this guy. That's all right, but think about this practically.
Okay,
it doesn't say how old the daughter was, but if you're holding up a kid for a picture, how does that kid end up overboard?
Maybe the kid was fighting you, screaming, yelling, didn't want to take the picture.
So you're saying he threw her in there?
No, I'm saying like she wiggled out of his arms or something. I'm
overboard.
Oh my god!
This doesn't sound like practical stuff. How do you get overboard? Unless she jumped on her own, like thinking like, oh, this is fun.
Hey, Fleegs, come in here for a second.
Fleegs about the size of a larger child,
right,
I would
say. So let me pick up
Small adult, larger child.
Come over here, Fleegs.
Okay, so paint the picture for me now of exactly what we're looking at here. Taking a picture.
Oh my god, you're like a fire hydrant. Oh god.
You couldn't even pick him up.
All right, now you come in.
I have very fragile bones.
Yeah, fragile bones, osteoporosis.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You don't look like you weigh that much.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Is that a compliment or not?
I almost want my back.
I think that's a compliment. That you don't look like you're that heavy. But you are.
I mean, what are you about? $175?
So I didn't have the headphones on, but
all right, how much do you weigh?
Like right around 200.
I had no idea.
Wow. So anyway, you
what were you thinking?
I was going to hold him up.
No, what did you think he weighed?
I thought maybe like $125 or something.
$125?
Yeah, he's like 5'6".
125 pounds? That's less than Al.
You know, I've never actually seen him standing up. Every time I work with him, he's sitting down.
Look at this. Look at this.
Slow motion, please.
I swear. CBS Sports Network just put the lift of Fleegs, if you want to call it that, in slow motion. Very funny.
I thought he was lighter than that. I almost blew out my back.
Right, yeah, now. I know. I saw that. I got a little worried for you.
Yeah.
Popping an Achilles or something.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm thinking that maybe I don't know how old the kid is.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
That's the thing.
Doesn't say, yeah.
You know, maybe the kid was throwing a tantrum, or maybe the kid was mad at her parents or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you pick her up. And you know how, like, sometimes, like, when you, like, sometimes I'll pick up Winnie and she'll fight me.
You're half right.
Okay.
You are half right.
Half right.
So, someone sent me, my buddy Sal Graziano's listening, contributing to the program today.
And they, like, all of our friends are listening right now, contributing.
Yeah, you got friends. You got blood-sucking friends. I got cruise ship friends. All right, so a passenger claimed that the child had been sat on the rail while a picture was taken.
There you go.
So you had half of it, wasn't holding, but sat up on the rail and then off the rail.
And so, oh, man, does that mean she went backwards or he went backwards? Was it she?
It was, I believe, she, yeah. So she,
so she went backwards. Oh, yeah, my God.
I know, 50 feet. And they both survived. Amazing.
And dad was like, oh,
yeah,
think about that.
No, I know. I am
the
thinking
panic.
About it. No, of course you jump in there.
I mean,
of course you go right in there. I mean, yeah. And then probably didn't sound exactly like that, but thanks for the ambiance, 200-pound Fleegs. Yeah, that was
so Fleegs weighs more than you do.
No. At this point, I'm 212.
Okay,
right now.
Yeah, but you're taller.
Yeah,
how much taller are you than him?
I don't. I'm 5'11 and a half. I say 6 foot to make it sound better, but
I'm 5'9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, he's like a fire hydrant.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point where I was lighter when I was under 200.
Body, you're a thick some bitch, man. That's what you are.
It's centralized. My legs are not that big, so it's all just kind of in the middle.
Centralized.
How about your hammocks?
Hammock bones? Hammock muscles?
Yeah.
So that was very fun to watch. Okay. But anyway, yeah. I mean, but you're right, though. You think, like, okay, so they must have tried to throw the life preserver, but maybe the current was taking them or whatever, and they couldn't get it out. But, I mean, 20 minutes to tread water, 20 minutes.
Now, would those be shark-infested waters?
I'm sure. I mean, Florida to the Bahamas, I'm sure they're definitely. I mean, I don't know about infested, but they're around. They're in there, you know? Depends how, you know, deep the water is at that point and where the other fish that they were eating would be. And by the way, speaking of that, the sand tiger sharks are back out on Long Island nibbling at people, and everybody's freaking out. Now, listen, I get it. There have been people who have been killed by sharks in other places. Cape Cod, Australia, Hawaii, Great Whites, and those bull sharks, they'll go and they'll eat you. These things that are nibbling on people on Long Island, they're sand tiger sharks. They're like baby ones, and they're stupid, and they don't know what they're munching on. And they go over, and they go, oh, that's not a fish. I'm out of here. And then people go running out, and they have like a little laceration on them, and they're like, ah! So now there's press conferences, drones, gazillion dollars being spent on people now patrolling the beach for these little sand tiger shark puncture wounds.
Until one big great white comes up.
And not going to happen.
And swallows somebody.
Not going to happen.
Okay. I mean, you are the
It's not going to happen.
You know.
There is not going to be a great white that comes in. At least it happens at Cape Cod. It has not happened yet here. What is happening now is these sand tiger sharks are coming in, and they're not interested. They bite the human flesh, and they're like, ah, damn it.
So you
that was supposed to be a bunker.
So basically, you should be swimming within the flags. Don't be swimming outside the flags.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's always a thing.
Okay, but if you swim outside the flags, I'm not worried about you. Just go do your thing. You want to just go do your thing, do your thing. If you're inside the flags, then I'm worried about you.
I don't know.
I never understood that white.
This is great canned sound effects. It's unbelievable. That's very funny.
You know how the lifeguards stand up on their tower?
Yeah.
And if you're outside the red flag or the green flag, whatever
it is.
Come on. I'm like, why?
Well, because they don't want like a riptide death on their watch. That's why.
Yeah, but you know, I'm making the decision to fly to swim outside the flags.
Yeah, I mean, you could.
It's
you
my
could,
decision.
Yeah, you could not listen to them. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, why do they even bother?
Because I told you, because if it's like a riptide day or something, they want to be able to see
them. When you go up to the beach, it says swimming only in between the flags.
Yeah.
And then if you decide to swim outside the flag, you're taking your it's your risk.
Right. It's not like it's a law, right?
Right.
You're not going to get a ticket rule. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy's going to blow the whistle. You have like, hey, man, that blow jackass wants to go down there and swim. Let him go down there
go
and
ahead,
swim.
Go ahead. Blow your whistle. I'm not interested in your whistle.
Because I feel bad for the lifeguards.
Here's the thing that I'm more worried about when I, like the ocean days, is definitely the riptide, getting sucked out in a riptide.
Right.
And then, by the way, if that ever happens to you, you stop swimming. You let it take you as far as it takes you, and then you swim sideways, and then you go back in. That's the rule. But if you start swimming against the rip current, you're going to be out of energy in minutes and then drown. So if you get sucked out like that, you just go, all right, suck me out. Suck me out, bro. And then once you finally feel like it's not sucking you out anymore.
Then you're okay.
You're okay. And
don't
then
panic.
You don't go back that way, though. You start going
sideways,
away from the riptide, and then back in.
Look at you.
There's your little
public service announcement.
Damn right. Chris and Hal, what's going on, Chris?
Hey, Boomer, I was just wondering if all the staff at WFN was on a cruise ship and someone fell in the water, who would you jump in to save?
See, this is an interesting question because there's also, like, you got to figure who's the worst swimmer, who's the most likely to die. Like, do you think there'd be someone who...
Well, first of all, none of these guys are children.
Right.
I mean, they shouldn't be falling over the side anyway in the first place. And if they're stupid enough to have that happen, I'm just like, hey, see ya.
Right, Fleegs would probably just go right to the bottom, like a boulder.
Like, Al would be so afraid to even go near the edge, so I don't have to worry about him. If Eddie
this
falls...
This would have to be an alcohol-induced incident.
Yeah. I think Eddie...
Eddie, I can see Eddie falling over the side.
Yeah.
Like after a few car bombs.
Or like he has his blood sugar has an issue and he just stumbles. And yeah.
I mean, in this world, you can't save him. I mean, how would you save him?
Well, you'd jump in and you'd hopefully the buoyancy of the salt water would keep you up long enough for somebody to get a, you know, something to you. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you would hope for.
The buoyancy of the salt water.
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, I am a self-proclaimed seaman.
You are.
But that's
I've noticed this expert take that you have on things when it comes to water.
You know, you could just see you and Eddie. Hang on, Eddie. I'm trying, sir. I'm trying. Hang on.
Yeah, but, you know, he wouldn't be able, he'd probably, like, if he had a diabetes problem or something where he was lightheaded or whatever,
yeah.
It ain't going to change when he's in the water.
Yeah, so you think he'd be, like, completely...
You'd have to jump in with a sugary drink.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hand me an orange juice and a floaty.
Yeah,
that's true.
He says, pour the orange juice down his mouth.
Drink it.
I feel better. Thank you, sir. Yeah, just have to hold him up. But you know, Eddie would be wearing jeans. In a t-shirt tucked into it. He'd be so heavy.
Yes.
He would be so heavy. With his hiking boots on during the cruise.
I thinking that his buoyancy.
Buoyancy.
Buoyancy, whatever.
Well, the salt water. It does help.